Welcome to Soundboard, the Steinway & Sons podcast on artistry and craftsmanship. I'm your producer and host, Ben Fanan, editor-in-chief at Steinway & Sons, and for the online music magazine, listenmusicculture.com. My guest today is Steinway artist Olga Kern, who won the 11th Van Cliburn International Piano Competition in 2001. Van Cliburn, of course, won the Piano Prize in the inaugural International Tchaikovsky Competition in Moscow in 1958. Which leads us to this episode's sponsor, Medici.tv, the official webcast partner of the 16th International Tchaikovsky Competition, which takes place June 17th through June 29th. Soundboard listeners can watch the competition live online for free by visiting tch16.medici.tv. That's tch16.medici.tv. Olga Kern spoke to me at Steinway Hall in New York City about her love for the music of Sergei Vasilyevich Rachmaninoff.
Rachmaninoff is a very special composer for all pianists, I think, because he was such a great pianist and he knew piano so well that everything what he composed, it was just amazing masterpieces for piano. And it's such a joy to perform his music. And for me, of course, being Russian and being born in a music family, my parents both pianists, and for me, it just so always was so important to hear piano music. And of course, I heard a lot of Rachmaninoff music since I was born. Actually, when my mother was pregnant with me, I think I heard Rachmaninoff music in her belly, because when I started to learn Rachmaninoff's Third Concerto, I was 15 years old when I played it first time. I felt like I knew the piece already, and I just started. And of course, I knew that this is one of the most difficult pieces for piano repertoire. And for some reason, it was so easy for me. I knew that music. And then I asked my mother, and she told me, maybe it's because I played it when I was pregnant with you. And I definitely believe in this, because when I was pregnant with my son, I played a lot of music by Brahms and Chopin, and it's his favorite composers now. I definitely feel that connection already through my mother and through my, you know, family of musicians.
Thank you.
when I was having a lot of conversations with amazing Van Cliburn when he was alive, and when I won the Van Cliburn competition, I remember spending a great time with him. And over the years, he was telling me such a great stories about what it means, you know, for him, this name, Rachmaninov, Sergei Vasilievich Rachmaninov. He always told me that, Olga, Rachmaninov is always behind our shoulders. For pianists, this is how it is.
What does that mean?
It feels like that his spirit is with us. He's just helping. When you play his music, it's so inspiring that you feel like he is there with you to help you. I don't know with what, maybe to help you with feelings, with the passion, with something. I don't know, but it's always been this way for me. I felt exactly the same way as Cliburn when he was telling me that Rachmaninov's spirit is with us, because it is. His music was always helping me in the most difficult situations. And when I heard his second symphony, or third symphony, or symphonic dances, for me, this music is healing me completely. And I can't say why it is, but it just brings me so much feelings and so much mind-blowing, incredible images. I don't know. It's just really helping me a lot. And this is why I always play his music. I love his music very much.
It's more than that, though, because you were saying that you feel all pianists should play Rachmaninov. Why is that? What is it about his music that is, say, good for pianists?
It's perfectly written for piano. Technically, there is nothing else you can write more than Rachmaninov did for piano. There is everything, all types of technique. And he does this technique when he's writing his compositions. It's always, technique is always helping his beautiful melodies, his beautiful music. It's not like opposite when you need to somehow go through a lot of difficulties to try to make this or that part of technical parts of the composition sound fine. No, it's so easy pianistically written, even though it's very hard. But because he had such a comfortable hands and he knew piano so well, he could compose the most difficult technical parts in such an easy way that it's very comfortable. You just play it and that's it. You just don't need to think. I mean, for me, because I have very comfortable hands as well, as I feel it. And, you know, for me, his technical abilities and all the types which he puts in his compositions are so comfortable for me. And I think for all pianists, it's the same. I'm sure that they feel the same way as me, because it's just written by a great pianist.
When you say comfortable hands, you don't mean big hands per se.
No, it doesn't need to be big hands. It needs to be
comfortable positions under the hands.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It must be a very comfortable position. It must have a good stretch and just very elastic, very natural pianist hand.
Thank you.
Is Rachmaninoff sort of a more modern Liszt for being this pianist composer that he was?
Of course, I think so. I think even by this day, he's a very popular composer. It's a pop composer. For classical music, he's a pop composer because we know so many of his melodies, which was used for a lot of Hollywood movies, for a lot of musical. Exactly. Figure skating. They're all the time using his music. Rachmaninoff is one of the biggest popular composer of classical music these days. And of course, he's very close, very friendly with my great-grandmother. He actually accompanied her in a concert. She had a mezzo-soprano voice, and she was living in Kharkov in Ukraine, and she was soloist of a Kharkov opera theater for many years, and she was traveling a lot, giving tours all over Russia and outside. And one time she was performing Rachmaninoff songs, which are written so difficult for piano that if you don't have a good pianist for accompanying these songs, it's very difficult to really make it work perfectly. And what happened that in one place her accompanist got sick, which was a very good pianist, and he got sick and she couldn't find anybody to accompany. But at the same time, Rachmaninoff was on tour performing his concerts, and he happened to be in the same place. It was in Kazan, in Tatarstan. He said, "Why are you looking for somebody? I'm here, I will do it for you." And we still have a program from that concert and two books of his memoirs. It's written that Rachmaninoff, that and that date, performed with my great-grandmother in this and that place. And when I came to Tatarstan, to Kazan, to perform for the first time, people knew. Because it was in the old building of the concert hall with beautiful columns and everything. And they said, "Do you know that this is the place where Rachmaninoff was accompanying your great-grandmother?" I was like, "Oh my God, how do you know?" They said, "Yeah, because it's written in the memoirs and it's a historic fact." For me, this is also very important that his genius actually touched my family at least a little bit.
So, in addition to this family connection, do you feel, as a Russian, do you have a special connection to Rachmaninoff in particular and Russian composers in general? Is there something to that notion that as a Russian you can play Rachmaninoff or as an American one can play Gershwin?
It's very interesting. You know, I always think how it is actually. If American pianists can play Russian music. Yes, and it is possible because we know a great example of Van Cliburn who came to first Tchaikovsky competition in Moscow, and he opened eyes of musical world that time that he actually could play Rachmaninoff and Tchaikovsky music like nobody played before. And it was in such a great Russian way. Russian way, I'm talking about Russian way because all Russians are always sad. Even if they are very happy, they're always sad. You know.
So this is a Russian romantic nostalgic manner.
Exactly. And he captured that and he played it not fast. He played all the melodies in such a way. It was big. It was beautiful. And piano was singing. Mm-hmm. This is why I can't say that being a Russian, I play this because I am Russian. But of course, I feel it because I know that my grandparents had a beautiful house outside of St. Petersburg, actually where Rachmaninoff was born, in the same area. And I was spending every summer with them, knowing that nature, which Rachmaninoff loved so much. I feel it. Even in one of his songs, Lilacs, I feel that lilacs from that gardens, in that place, in that area. And of course, I can understand more. But at the same time, when I was in, again, example of Van Cliburn, when I was in Kilgore, of Van Cliburn's birthplace. I went there and I couldn't believe that it's actually Texas because it was such a beautiful nature. And I thought, this is why he felt so Russian, because this nature was so important for Russian composers, and this big, grand nature with a lot of big, beautiful trees, endless fields, that was very important, I think, for them, because they loved that country so much because of that land, because of the landscapes. This is what they were trying to capture in music. At that time, all the painters were painting a lot of landscapes, Russian painters, because it was that passion of theirs. It was very important that time. With different schools, of course, with French and with German and with Russian, with American, with all different schools, there are always a great example of pianists who can do everything. Because music is so beautiful that you can't just say that, that's it, this is only what I love and this is only what I play. Because Brahms is incredible. Bach, from what everything came, he was such a genius. I mean, how you would not like Bach and how you would not play Bach. Rachmaninoff himself was, of course, studying Bach so much because in his music there is so much polyphony. And all of these inner voices and everything, of course it was very important. And this is why you just can't say that because I'm Russian, I play this music this way, the best, or I don't know, but I just feel it.
Yeah.
I feel it my way. It's not necessarily maybe even Russian way, because I studied also not only in Russia, but also in Italy, and I studied with a lot of different teachers, with the master classes, great teachers. I must say that I always like a sponge. I like to take everything from different countries, all the cultures, and I like to learn. And this is always giving me possibilities to find a new interpretation and new sound in the music which everybody knows, even in Rachmaninoff music.
Let's take it back to Van Cliburn for a second,
yes.
Because it's interesting what you say. You know, maybe at the time, America read this as sort of a Cold War victory.
Yeah.
But in retrospect, it was more of a victory for music because the Russians didn't feel beaten at that competition. They were, in fact, overjoyed
that
here's this American from Texas, no less, who can come over and feel their music as they feel it.
Exactly. And I totally agree. I will never forget my mother's stories because she was there in the competition and, of course, my father as well. And for them, Cliburn became kind of a hero because in the classical music at that time, to have somebody abroad to show Russian musicians how to actually Russian music can sound in a different but such a beautiful way what Clyburn did that time was more of a victory of music,
for
I
sure.
think. Of course, politicians always like to somehow put together all cultural events, which in many situations is not correct, in my opinion, because politics is totally different thing from music, and we can't really somehow put it together, because music is so innocent. There is nothing to do with politics. And knowing, also talking about Rachmaninoff again, when he was in America, in this country, and there was this Second World War, and he was helping Russian army with lots of money. Nobody in Russia said even one word that Rachmaninoff helped Russia that time, Soviet Union. He was enemy of Soviet Union. And my grandfather, he was telling me that all Rachmaninoff scores, Rachmaninoff music, he needed to hide in a secret place, because he was enemy that time. Nobody could play this incredible music.
Let's talk about some of that music that he may have hidden, because as a casual listener, for the piano repertoire, we may only be familiar with, in this order, Rachmaninoff third piano concerto, Rachmaninoff second piano concerto.
Rhapsody in 19 by Paganini, of course,
yes.
Only one variation, number 18.
And perhaps the C-sharp minor prelude,
which is
a beautiful morsel that a lot of piano students have to play, that Rachmaninoff fought to distance himself from. But there is so much more.
There is so much more. I think one life will not be enough just to play all his, to learn his music.
What are some of those pieces, apart from these war horses, that you particularly enjoy?
Both his sonatas are incredible. You know, cello sonata is one of the most incredible, beautiful music ever written. For, I don't know, for cello, for instruments, for any instruments, because in each of the movements of this cello sonata has such incredible melodies. How he put piano in this composition is actually written for piano and cello, not for the cello and piano, because it's so rich of all of this piano music there that a cello, because it's such a beautiful timbre, and in that specific piece, he put cello in that pedestal because he loved cello. And I understand why, because it just goes so perfectly with piano. And that composition is a masterpiece. Not so many people knows about it, because a certain movement is to die for. It's just so beautiful. It's a heaven. And, of course, his Moment musicals, pieces Opus 10, pieces Opus 3, which, you know, the only known from this opus is Opus 3, number 2, C-sharp minor prelude. But everything else, his barcarolle there, is just an incredible piece of music. And then, of course, so many preludes, which people doesn't even know, especially Opus 32, and, of course, Etude tableaus, Variations. Variation of Timbre Corelli is this incredible composition genius to transform Corelli theme, which is a very easy A minor, very completely simple melody, to an incredible D flat major variation.
Maybe it's the simplicity of that melody that helps, right?
Yes. The same is Paganini. Yeah. Perhaps in Timbre Paganini, what he did also, it's an A minor, and it's a very simple melody in the beginning, but how he transformed that again to the same D flat major melody on the 18th variation, which everybody knows and everybody loves. That is just such a genius of his. And these variations, Corelli variations, are incredible. And also Chopin variations, because Rachmaninoff loved Chopin, because he was that another incredible composer for piano. He was a king of piano, of course. And for each pianist, it is, and it was, and it will be always important to play Chopin. And this is why he paid this tribute to Chopin. He had a great transcriptions for piano from Kreisler, and then Mendelssohn and Tchaikovsky, of course, because Tchaikovsky was a master for all Russian composers. And all of these transcriptions, in the way, are so Rachmaninoff. Even though it's different composers, but you feel Rachmaninoff in every note.
Olga, thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Soundboard, the Steinway & Sons podcast on artistry and craftsmanship. We heard a clip of Steinway artist Long Long performing Variation 18 of Rachmaninoff's Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini with the Mariinsky Orchestra under the baton of Valery Gergiev, and we heard Olga Kern perform Prelude Opus 32 No. 12, Moments Musicaux No. 4, Etude Tableau Opus 33 No. 6, and Prelude Opus 3 No. 2, all by Rachmaninoff and all performed on the Steinway & Sons Spirio, the world's finest high-resolution player piano. Visit steinway.com/spirio to learn more. A big thank you to this episode's sponsor, Medici.tv, the official webcast partner of the 16th International Tchaikovsky Competition, which runs June 17th through June 29th. Soundboard listeners can watch the competition live online for free by visiting tch16.medici.tv. Our intro and outro music is Philip Glass's Mad Rush, performed on a Steinway Model M by me, Ben Finan, editor-in-chief at listenmusicculture.com. Questions for the podcast can be sent to info@steinway.com with the subject heading Soundboard. Thank you for listening.